Bloomberg, the first word with Ken Pruitt. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Our guest this hour is Drew Mattis, Deputy U.S. Chief Economist at UBS Securities. Glad to have you with us. We get the latest retail sales numbers for April, a little more than a couple hours from now. The median forecast among economists we've surveyed here at Bloomberg suggests a 0.3% drop. Would you concur with that number, and should we be concerned with that?
We should be expecting a drop. Gasoline prices were a little bit lower during the month, and auto sales were a little bit weaker. So, yes, we should be expecting a drop. Should you be concerned? The answer is not really. If you strip out those two and really get to the crux of what people buy every month, so whether or not people are increasing or decreasing their trend of spending, we should expect a little bit of a rebound there versus last month.
Well, what's the outlook for retail sales going forward? Will they steadily begin to rise?
Well, my best guess right now is that they'll be a little bit better than people expect. I think if you look at most of the economic data, I think people have been surprised to the upside. Everyone gets all upset and worried when there's one bad number, but no one really gets all that optimistic after five or six good ones in a row. So I think that pattern is going to continue, and that people will continue to err on being pessimistic rather than optimistic.
I don't know about you, Drew, but whenever I start hearing comparisons to the internet boom, I get a little nervous. But we've compiled data here at Bloomberg showing returns from the U.S. equity bull market that's in its fifth year are matching those from the last half of the 1990s, even as valuations are 28% lower. Check out these valuations. Shares in the S&P 500 now trade at 18.6 times annual profit, which is below the average 25.7 multiple in the 1990s rally that was led by internet companies. Should we be worried about that?
I'm not sure. I don't think so. And the reason being is because I think that if you look at what's going on with the U.S. growth cycle, we have a much more stable, albeit lower, growth cycle. So you're trading some level of growth for much lower levels of volatility. And I think for a lot of people, that's a trade-off they'd like to make, and that's being reflected in the equity markets. Where I'd be a little worried is that firms seem to be able to do this even as revenues are coming in a little weaker than people generally anticipate. So, you know, what that tells you is that trade works until revenues go to zero. And then, of course, you can't be making a profit. And so should we be worried? Yes. Should we be worried now? The answer is probably not.
Are we going to start seeing some growth in Europe now that the move seems to be to stimulus rather than austerity out of that Group of Seven meeting?
I mean, truthfully, I wouldn't count on growth anywhere but in the United States. I think if you look around the world and see the troubles that people face, the country that looks the best, smells the best, walks the best is probably us, right? We are experiencing a shale story. So if you want to talk about comparisons to the internet, there's probably your best one. What's more important, being able to post an embarrassing video of one of your coworkers, or being able to drive a car that's basically being powered by energy that came from the United States with no intervening dictator in between, right? So, you know, it's that's going to be the story, I think, over the next couple of years. I know everyone's talking about it now, but they should keep talking about it because it really is a big driver of U.S. economic activity.
Well, are the bond markets getting a little ahead of themselves then? U.S., Japanese, Australian bonds have tumbled, and that seems to be a response to this new stimulus over in Europe, and that the demand for the relative safety of government debt is going to taper off now.
Well, you know, people think of the world as so interconnected nowadays, and every time someone says, the U.S. can outperform without Europe, or Europe can outperform without the United States, or someone can do something without Japan, people are naturally skeptical. But to those skeptics, I would encourage them to look at, you know, who produces the oil and gas equipment that's going to drive the investment in the shale story? What are the side effects to the U.S. consumer of having lower natural gas prices in the United States? What are the side effects to the world economy? If you want to say, okay, well, the U.S. can't do it without bringing everyone else along, I would say we might be able to go further than people think. But fine, how about what are the benefits to the rest of the world of having the vast majority of the world's energy resources or discovered energy resources in the United States, Canada, and Mexico? Right. So you have a bastion of stability in North America that I think will be able to help drive the rest of the world forward, but I don't think that's generally recognized yet. So this is, you know, Drew Matz, the economist at UBS, being crazy, but, you know, I think there's good reasons to be optimistic, and for that reason.
Let's leave it there. Drew Matz.
Bloomberg, the first word. Weekday mornings at 5 Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2. Or on Sirius and XM satellite radio channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.